I think all of us have heard the statement, patience is a virtue. And it is interesting as you talk to people that if you ask them what their problem, one of their main problems is, they will say, it's lack of patience. That's one of the areas that we can see readily in others and readily in ourselves. Of course, we understand all the other fruits of God's Spirit, gentleness, kindness, patience. Well, patience is what I'm talking about. Faith, joy. And we can detect the lack of those also, but it's the impatience one that seems, or the patience one maybe, that we're tried with all the time. Just all the time. I'll tell you about an incident I went through a couple of weeks ago that didn't necessarily stimulate the sermon, but while I was giving the sermon the last time, I did remember what I went through. And sometimes we are really taken through a long period of time where our patience is tried. And it did take me hours and hours. But anyway, patience is a virtue. It really is. It's a godly virtue. And the world overall doesn't have it. Marion and I were talking on the way down, and the question is asked, can people in the world be patient without God's Spirit? And the answer is, well, they can look like they're patient. Even when I was 16 years old, I remember I was on the way to a camp. It was a Lutheran camp, Flathead Lake, Montana, where that lake, by the way, is about 33 degrees, I think, just above freezing. It's a cold lake. But anyway, the fellow said, well, Greg, you are really a patient person. And I said, well, I have nothing else to do. So we can think that maybe we're patient, but when you take a look at the world's definition and God's definition, you know that patience only comes through God's Spirit. It's a virtue that is a godly virtue. So if you look the word up, the definition that I thought was really good was the capacity to accept or tolerate at least delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. It's that last part that gets us, doesn't it? Because we might be able to accept it because there's nothing else we can do. Or tolerate, because again, we have no choice but to tolerate. But when you add the little seven words or so at the end, without getting angry or upset, that's the one that gets us. Because we do get angry or upset. A lot of definitions to the word upset also. Synonyms on this word, if you look it up in a dictionary or online, you have forbearance, tolerance, restraint, self-restraint, indulgence, perseverance, endurance, or resolve. I thought those words were quite interesting, and I think they all apply to being patient. If we take a look at the Bible definition, there's a number of words that I see when I look the word up. A long spirit, which is quite interesting, a long spirit. Whatever that is, I'm not sure because I've never heard that statement before. Have you? A long spirit. How do you stretch out a spirit? Well, that's not what it means. Okay, tolerance, persevere patiently. And you think, well, why would they add the word patient? Because this is what we're talking about. But to persevere. Bearing offenses. Somebody else's offenses. You're bearing with somebody in their offense. Bearing injuries, slow to anger, long suffering. And then the last one is mild and slow in avenging, which I'm wondering about that one. I would have to take a good look because I don't think we're supposed to avenge ourselves. Maybe it means we can avenge ourselves in the millennium. I've often thought of doing that. You know, when they're resurrected in the second resurrection, I'm going to get them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I'll be as close to the Lord as anybody could be at that time. But I don't think, actually, we are ever going to really avenge ourselves. We notice in 1 Corinthians 13:4, I believe if we just take this one word and apply it to our daily life and ask ourselves whether we have patience or not, it comes out here in 1 Corinthians 13 as a very good definition that no doubt is one of the best, if not the best. 1 Corinthians and verse 4, we'll start. Love suffers long. So we know these are definitions of the word love. Love is agape that we're talking about. So this is part of God's nature. God is love, as we know. He is agape. And therefore, he fulfills all these characteristics. God suffers long. Actually, there is a place where it tells us in Luke that even God is bearing long with us before he'll avenge for us. So that's interesting. In other words, he knows he's going to come to our rescue, but he bears long. And that word is long-suffering or patience. He's bearing a long time with the people who are causing us problems. Now, we don't like that. Do you? I don't like that. When I ask God to come to my rescue, I want him to do it right away. But even God is patient in not coming to our rescue and avenging us. And that is quite interesting. And sometimes we don't come to the rescue of our kids, so to speak, right away, or to our employees maybe right away. We wait also to intervene when it comes to other people, don't we? Well, God is that way. God is even patient with people that you might think he shouldn't be patient with. So here it says God suffers, or loves, excuse me, suffers long. Now, we don't like that word suffer. I don't at all. And you wouldn't think, really, that when you take a look at the characteristics of God, that suffering would be required. But we want to keep that in mind as we go through the sermon, because it's going to help us when it comes to being patient. Suffering is the major part of it, and the word long is also the major part of it. We like the word long depending on, you know, if there's a lot of pie. I told my son about a week ago, I said, Dean, he's in Denver now, I said, Dean, I was really glad that you left the house when you were 18 for one reason. And he kind of paused and waited, and I paused for a moment, and I said, you left a lot more apple pie for me. It goes a lot longer way, right? Okay. But anyway, normally long is fine, but to suffer a long time is not what I like and not what you like. But notice, and I think the word actually, instead of, this is a conjunction here that we're talking about, the word and. Instead of this conjunction being and, it probably should be but. Either way it works. But we suffer long, but we're still kind. Because really that's what it's all about. We can suffer and not be kind. But you have to put this together, and I really feel that the two must be put together to really get across to us the way that we're supposed to be as Christians. Suffer a long time and at the same time be kind. Now that is huge. I've often said that there are physical goals that are tough. We have these important periods in our life where we want to reach this level at a certain time, that level at a certain time physically. The spiritual is much tougher to attain, any spiritual goal, than any physical goal. It just really is. It takes godly character. Some of the physical goals that we have may be motivated physically only and just for ourselves. And it doesn't matter. God doesn't care in some cases whether we reach physical goals or not. But when it comes to spiritual goals, we have to reach those. So, in your patience possess you your soul, Luke 21:19. I think all of us remember that one. I say, in your patience, possess your money too. Most of the time. Most of the time I sleep on things. You know, I wait before I spend the money. Once in a while, you'll act quickly because you'll see somebody else coming and you know they're going to buy it and it's a good deal and it's the only one left and so you'll buy it. But most of the time, you know, you'll save your money too by patiently waiting, researching before you buy something. I have something that came out probably several years ago, at least after 2001, but it's "These Survived 9/11 Because." We know what happened 9/11. That was 2001, wasn't it? As you might know, the head of a company survived 9/11 because his son started kindergarten. Now you can just see it, you know, honey, you're going to have to go there. I really can't get off work. You're the head of your company. You can take off work. He says, I don't want to do it. You know, I've got other things really that are important. He's a big kid now. He's 5 years old. He can, you know, go there on his own. He doesn't need, honey, you got to be there. Okay. So he survives 9/11 because he went to kindergarten with his son on the first day. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. And he said, look, I know donuts aren't good for you. I don't want to go buy those donuts. I don't even eat donuts. And they say, look, it's your turn. You go pick them up. And he said, yeah, I could be getting a lot done. But he survived because he was the one that went to get the donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off in time. Can you imagine how upset she was? She was going to be late. Maybe this was the second time and three times you're out, perhaps. So she would have been upset, but she survived. One was late because of being stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike because of an auto accident caused by Governor Christie. Which would have been the Washington Bridge, I guess. But anyway. So, you know what it's like to be stuck in traffic. You know how you start talking to people who cannot hear you? I see people looking around here. So I've often said, you know, they can't hear you, but once in a while I'll catch myself talking to them also. But this person survived. They were stuck there. They were complaining. It was annoying. They were delayed, but they lived. One of them missed his bus. That's annoying too. One spilled food on her clothes and had to take time to change. These are real stories, by the way. Breakfast, she's in a hurry, she spills some orange juice or whatever, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to be late. But she lived. One's car wouldn't start. Not their fault, didn't want to be late, but battery was dead or whatever. One couldn't get a taxi in New York. You can see how that would be possible because there are taxis all over the place. Most people don't have cars in New York. They don't drive into New York most of the time. They take taxis or they take public transportation. But she lived. She couldn't get a taxi. That was upsetting. That was annoying. She was delayed, but she lived. Then whoever's writing this says, the one that struck me was the man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning, took the various means to get to work, but before he got there, he developed a blister on his foot, stopped at a drugstore to buy a Band-Aid, and that's why he's alive today. You ever thought, oh man. Now, this fellow says, when I'm stuck in traffic, miss an elevator, all the little things that annoy me, I think to myself, this is exactly where God wants me to be at this very moment. So next time your morning seems to be going wrong and you can't find the car keys, has that ever happened to you? I've looked for keys for weeks, I remember, and finally I went to hang something above a kitchen cabinet and there Marion had placed those keys. Actually, I had. Never would have found them, you know, just out of sight. You hit every traffic light that ever happened to you? Then don't get mad or frustrated. God is at work watching over you. And he certainly could be. Definitely. There's a reason for all things. And this man ends by saying, may God continue to bless you with all those annoying little things. And I guarantee you, those who lived after 9/11 knew it was a blessing. They knew it was a blessing. And may you remember their possible purpose, is what he goes on to say. So patience, in your patience, possess you your soul. If someone would have said, well, I missed the taxi, I'm going to run to work, you know, I'm going to run the final 7 blocks, so I'm not late, maybe they would have died. So what about us? When we look at patience, we can ask ourselves, do we have a short fuse or a long fuse? And you know, you see these Western movies and they're going to blow up some rocks and they have this roll of fuse and they just roll the thing out and it's going for 100 yards maybe. Or in World War II, you see in the same type of movie where they're going to blow up a bridge and those fuses are long. Or do we have a short fuse? If we had a firecracker in our hand and we lit it, have you ever had one almost blow up in your hand as a kid where you barely got rid of it? You know, you lit it, you want to make sure it's lit, and then you throw it. We had these cherry bombs when, I don't know if they're still around, but when I was a kid, we had cherry bombs. And we liked those things, and they didn't have a long fuse, and we'd throw them in the water. That was a lot of fun. Or put them in a tin can, which was more dangerous, of course. Put it in something where you'd see it skyrocket into the air. And you want a long fuse. You want a long fuse. You really appreciate it. Or when it comes to patience, you know, you say, well, he's patient as the day is long. What about if someone said of you, he's patient as the second is long? Does that apply? How about he's patient as the minute is long? That's 60 seconds. Now, that's getting to be a long time. Because when we're delayed, when we have something to do, especially if it's somebody else holding us up, to be patient with somebody else, have you ever thought of 60 seconds? How about he's patient as the hour is long? But patient as the day is long is a long time. Patient as the day is long. So we start looking at these things and we ask ourselves, how patient is God? Because actually the scripture does tell us, how patient is God? Remember where we are to be in God's family, and we are to rule in the family of God with people at first who are going to try our patience. And that's what we have to think about. Now, some definitions I guess we should say here. Patience is not aiding and abetting or enabling someone else's sin or your children's horrible habits. Okay, we don't want to aid, abet, or enable someone else's sins or weaknesses. Now that's not good, unless you have no choice, right? But when it comes to the power that you have, we can be patient, but we don't want aid them, enable them, you know, be part of their problem. So we have to have wisdom when it comes to being patient or being reactionary, reacting quickly as God does sometimes. Because we like God to react quickly to our enemies who are sinning, right? We don't want him to enable their sin, which in turn would hurt us. So we have to understand that. Also, we have to understand that impatience is not a disease. It's not something you can be anointed for at all. You know, I'm impatient. Could you anoint me? That's not what it is. Patience is not a gift. So you don't pray for it. Give me the gift of patience. You've given Cliff here the gift of patience, you might say. Why can't I be patient like him? Give me the gift of patience. It's not a gift. But it is the fruit that comes from a gift, okay? The fruit is the fruit from love, okay? And love comes from the Holy Spirit. So the gift of God is the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God. And if we have the love of God, then we have patience. So if you understand what I mean, it's connected to a gift that God gives us. It's connected to the Holy Spirit. So we want to understand that. Now, how important is it to have patience? Is impatience that bad? Is it a sin? How upset do we get at ourselves when we are impatient? And I'll give you some definitions a little later on to the word impatience, because we have to define that too. We might think that we are not impatient. We might think that we are just irritable. Is that impatience? So which commandment are we breaking? And I'll say from the start here, impatience is a sin. Impatience is a sin. So let's go to James 1, verse 13. James 1 and verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. James 1 and verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, why do you get impatient? Isn't it because you have a desire? If it's delay, remember, we put up with, we tolerate delay, and we don't get upset or angry. So now we simply want something. We want someone to do something faster. Okay, that's a desire. And we have a desire and we don't get our own way. So when desire then has conceived, meaning a wrong desire, because if we can do nothing about it, if we have to tolerate it, and we get upset when we are tolerating it, because let's face it, when we get upset, it doesn't speed up our fulfilled desire, does it? Just because I get upset, it's not going to make things go faster. If I get upset at traffic ahead of me, they're not going to say, oh, somebody behind me is honking their horn. I better pull over so they can just come right through. Do it if you see the bubble gum machine. That's the police, you know. We used to call it the bubble gum machine when we were kids. They don't have the same thing now on top of the car. They're more subtle, you know, they want to deceive you and catch you when you don't know that there's a police car behind. Isn't deceit of Satan the devil? But anyway, things don't go faster. You're not going to speed anything up at all by getting upset. So when desire, you know, wanting your way, when things don't happen as quickly as you want them to happen, that's a desire. And when now this desire that is wrong, okay, now if you want your kids to eat and you want them to move, let's go, you're going to be late for school. Okay, that's not a wrong desire. That's not a wrong desire at all. So please use wisdom. Some things you can make happen, right? Or you can punish because someone is not doing what you should. God does punish us. We only have so much time, so let's face it. If we're 100 years old and God says, you know, they're not going to be in my kingdom unless something happens here, then God is going to punish us. He's going to do something. He's going to intervene, and it's not going to be fun so that we can get the point. Sometimes it's called tribulation. God will bring punishment on us so things happen faster, right? So we do the same with other people if they need it. But with us, if God is not giving us what we desire, there's got to be a reason for it. And usually it's our problem. It may be just we don't have enough knowledge and understanding to make something happen. If it's just between me and a piece of wood, or me and the printer, as it turned out, I didn't have enough knowledge to make it happen. I'll tell you the story later. So, desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. It is a sin when we get upset because things don't happen as quickly as we would want. James 4 and verse 2. You desire and do not have. Here it says you lust. But if something is not happening as quickly as you want, then is that God's fault? Is that somebody else's fault? Well, it could be somebody else's fault. It could be, but if it's not happening and you have no control over making it happen faster, are you going to get upset? So it says, you lust and do not have, so you get angry, basically. What is the spiritual side of murder? It's anger. You can't just kill someone without being angry unless you do it by mistake. And that's usually not called murder. Right? You get angry. And this is what God is talking about. We have to be able to be long-suffering without getting upset. So here you have, we have a desire, we do not get it, we get angry. And that really helps a lot, doesn't it? So definitely impatience is a sin. James 1 and verse 19. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. And I've asked the question before, how many of you read the instructions before you put something together? And I think Mark was the only one. That was as of a year ago or so. Well, maybe there are a couple of you. I see somebody else saying, yeah, I read the instructions in Chinese. And I don't mean to make fun of this, but it is funny sometimes, the instructions that are there. But notice, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If we are not slow to wrath, we are being impatient. There may be a time to get angry, sure. But still, God tells us slow to wrath. The word slow means long. It takes a long time. Slow means a long period of time. And wrath is something that God doesn't want us to have. Most of the time, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, with politics, as was mentioned here, with politics, we have to be slow to wrath because we can't do anything about it in any country in which we live. We just can't do anything about it. You might say, well, I'll go vote. But you know, 1944 is when I was born. 1952, I remember the election of President Eisenhower. And I haven't seen anything different. If I didn't know one was a Republican or a Democrat, I wouldn't know any difference basically in the administrations that have come to pass. I had an uncle who blamed everything on the Democrats, and my parents were Republicans or Democrats who blamed everything on the Republicans. So I grew up in quite a family. So I heard, you know, my uncle saying, it's those damn Democrats. And I heard my dad saying, it's those damn. Eric Wilson won't hear the word, right? Republicans. And they really felt that way, except they liked President Eisenhower. So I think my mom and dad both voted for President, well, they were Democrats. But they voted for President Eisenhower. I do know that my mother voted for John Kennedy because he was good looking. That happens from time to time. So anyway, what we have then is God wants us to be very self-controlled. Self-controlled. And of course, that's one of the fruits of God's Spirit too. Now the next question I have is, where are we going? Where are we going that we need to get there so quickly? Right? It's a good question for all of us. Impatience. Here's some synonyms for impatience. Agitation. Anxiety, frustration, exasperation, annoyance, irritability, and that's how I know when I'm impatient, because I detect irritability in me. My wife detects irritability in me. I don't detect irritability in her. I just detect impatience. She doesn't get irritable. I don't see her irritable very much, but we all get impatient, every single one of us. And she will get impatient a little bit from time to time, as we all do, but not irritable. But irritability is one of my problems. Irritability with anything then that impedes or delays. Impedes or delays. And that may mean that we see other people delaying becoming like we want them to become. That can be frustrating, right? We get irritable over other people not being the way we want them to be. That's impatience. So we're tested and tried on impatience all the time. We live in a physical world, and this physical world really tries our impatience. So where are we going? And the answer is, it's a long trip. It is really a long trip. Matthew 6 and verse 33. We all know this verse very well. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. It was the second song that we sang today. Doc said, that's all we need. And it is true. It sums up so much. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom, and we know that word is rulership. Seek the rulership of God on this earth when we won't have as much need of patience, because people will be doing much better, and the products we have will work much better, and they won't break down. We won't need impatience over the thermostat going out on our car. My car takes about 20 miles. Did I tell you a couple weeks ago that I need to change my thermostat? I'll do that tomorrow when the weather is a little warmer. I haven't yet. If it were stuck closed, then I think I would have changed it long ago. But anyway, everything's going to work much better in the kingdom, right? So we won't be impatient as much over physical things. Everything is going to work better. But seek first the rulership of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you. So, what is the long trip? Well, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We are striving to be in the kingdom of God. Therefore, we are being patient until the rulership of Christ comes, and God after him. Of course, Christ works under God. We know that. In the sermonette today, it was interesting, and I, thinking about my sermon, I picked up on what Brent said, and he said concerning temper, being tempered, that is time, slow, challenging process. Time, slow, so long and slow, challenging, that's suffering, process. That's what tempering is. And then also slower, drying time. Slower drying time, not a faster drying time. In the winter time, they do put chemicals in the concrete so it'll speed up the process and it'll become harder quicker. Or if a rain is coming, they're going to add chemicals and it's getting hard in that concrete. We know. We had our driveway poured, and I got a commercial company to do it because it was much cheaper to have them do it than to have regular residential people do it. But they ran out of concrete, and they watered down the concrete because that concrete had been in that big truck a long time, and they picked up. They said, we're out of concrete. There was a truck that had finished a job. It had just enough left there to come over and dump it at my place, and they added more water to it. And the worst part of the entire driveway is that last about 3-foot section. And it's breaking apart, already breaking apart. It started breaking apart after a year. The rest is staying intact. But the stuff that was in that truck a long time, it was not tempered properly. And I should have had them come back and break it up and re-pour before I paid the bill. But I didn't. And that's the way it is. So we want to be tempered, and it takes a long time. God is taking a long time with us because he knows that It just takes time. Otherwise, we're not going to come out with the right character. We're not going to be hardened in his way of life the way we should be. So when we look at this, we realize patience becomes a character habit. The longer you are habitually patient, the longer you will be patient. The longer we are impatient, if we just are impatient today, impatient tomorrow, impatient the next day, we're going to be impatient. Somewhere along the line, we have to turn it around. Otherwise, we will never be patient, although God is going to try us and test it where we will be, because he wants the right outcome. James 5 and verse 7, so you'll see a lot of it is in the book of James. James 5 and verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Now, how long a trip do we have? Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Not patient as the day is long, but patient all the way up until the time Jesus Christ returns. Every single day. Because we have to think, look, the short-term goal is going to take longer. I used to tell my wife when she said, well, honey, how long is this going to take? I would say, yeah, about an hour. And it was 3 hours later. So she asked me now, and I just say, it's going to take as long as it takes. No longer do I tell her. It just takes a long time to do things. We never know what's going to come along to intervene, to get in the way. And we have to be ready for it. God hears us when we say it'll take 20 minutes. And it's going to take, well, you've known where you, it takes 3 times as long for sure, or 4 times as long, or you have to redo it. How many of you have had to redo things? Every hand goes up. How many of you, keep your hand down if you've had to redo things? There we go. Because that's the way it is. And God is trying us. I think patience is such a good indicator of our spiritual thermometer, would it be? Because God wants something that we can see that tells us how well we are doing spiritually. And we can deceive ourselves in a lot of things, but patience is one of those things we can't deceive ourselves too much. So be patient to the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, another question then, or a statement. We will be tested for life. We will be tempted in all respects. It's just going to happen. We're going to be tested, tempted in every way. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Hebrews 2 and verse 17, right before James. We know what Jesus Christ had to go through. And sometimes we think, well, you know, Christ, he was perfect. He didn't have to suffer. But the fact is, he did. Verse 17, we'll start there. In all things, Christ had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, I can ask the question here because there's a fallacy out there when it comes to ruling in the kingdom of God. Which person is going to be a better ruler in the kingdom of God? Which person is going to be the best one to help people, physical people in the kingdom of God, to become like God? Will it be the one who fails and fails and fails and fails and finally gets it right? Or will it be the one who doesn't fail, passes the first test, first time around, and then teaches? Now, this is where you're going to think probably the wrong answer. But the right answer is the person who is tempted the first time and doesn't fail. That's the best teacher. That's the best teacher. It has to be, because that's Christ. He was tempted and didn't sin. So we can't say, well, You know, it's good that I'm going through this because I'll be a better teacher if it takes me 20 years to overcome this. And the answer is no. The sooner we overcome it, the better. Why establish a bad habit? Why not overcome quickly? So there are ways to overcome, and it has to be, well, acting exactly the same way in our life as Christ acted when he was tempted. Because he was tempted, but it says now, verse 18, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. But Hebrews 4, and I won't turn there, with no sin is what he said. He did not sin. But he was tempted, and he was tempted just like you and I are tempted. There's no difference. And it says that he's going to be a very good high priest, a merciful and faithful high priest, because he's tempted. So for us to be merciful doesn't take us failing. For us to be merciful takes us being tempted and seeking God so we don't sin. Right? Can't be any other way. We can't take the word. We can't say, well, you know, I've been a drunk for 40 years. I was a drunk and I finally overcome. So here I can really help a lot of people now. Do you know what the success rate of AA is? It is horrible. Success rate of alcoholic. I'm not talking about AAA. I think they're better. I'm talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. They replace one crutch called alcohol for another crutch called people. That's what they do. They have to have that, and that's not wrong to have relationships, not wrong to fellowship, it's not wrong to buoy each other up. But as one lady told me, well, you know, the only way that I can ever produce fruits is if I have other people to show me how to produce fruits. And I told her, no, I said, you can plant a cherry tree right in out the middle of the orchard, and that one cherry tree without any other cherry trees around will produce cherries, right? Doesn't need other cherries. You know, well, I've got to plant this seed next to other cherry trees. Otherwise, this tree won't produce cherries. No, we have God's Spirit. So again, we're trying to help us here now where we're not giving ourselves any out. We have to be patient and should strive to be patient right away. I would like that in everybody around me if they were patient with me right away. Boy, they're patient with me immediately. That'd be great. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, of course. Okay, so Christ was tempted, we'll be tempted too. Now, patience is long-suffering, so we're going to find out now how to take care of the problem. Patience equals long-suffering, right? Remember the long and the suffering. So let's go to James 5:13, because this is a key to overcoming for every single one of us. James chapter 5 and verse 13. By the way, James, from what I understand, was the first book that was ever written historically of the New Testament. First book, James. Then the next one was either Galatians or Thessalonians. It was in the same area. Some say Galatians, some say Thessalonians. But it is interesting that James, the brother of Jesus Christ, is the one who wrote the first book, somewhere around 57-58 AD, I believe. So we have in James something here that we may not have connected, but James 5 in verse 13, is any among you suffering? Now, most of the time, I think in terms of a physical suffering, you know, where I stepped on a nail and I'm suffering, okay? What about long suffering? What about the actual word patience? Do I suffer when I am striving to be patient? And the answer, you have to be, otherwise it's not patience. So if I have nowhere to go, nothing to do, no goals at all and somebody gets in my way, they're not really getting in my way because I'm not going anywhere. So that is not called patience at all. But when I am driven with a goal, I want something to happen, and I am delayed, then I suffer. Now what do I do? What do you do? What do you do when things are not going your way? What do you do when you are delayed? Do you tolerate them and you don't get upset? How do you not get upset? I think you're all ahead of me. How many have actually read the rest of this verse? And why am I talking then? You're saying, well, why are you talking? Let's get it over with. Go to the verse. Go to it. Okay. Let him pray. Let him pray. How do we become patient? We are going to suffer. Pray. Are we afflicted when we suffer? And the answer is yes, we're afflicted. Do we pray? Now, it goes along with anything else that is happening in our life, but our patience is being tried all the time. All the time. Everybody. I don't care who I talk to. And you might say, well, a minister is not, doesn't have to be patient. Well, look who I'm dealing with. That was inspired. Well, no, we all are, you know, it's the same. It doesn't matter. We all deal with everybody, you know. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. So we pray, and we have to pray. If we lack patience, then pray. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. We pray then for what? We pray for the Spirit of God. We pray for the Spirit. God is long-suffering. God is love, and love is patient. So we pray for the love of God. Okay, I had this printer. How many of you have tried to save money by buying your own printer? This is a laser printer. It's not the fluid ink. This stuff is the regular powder. And I could take it in. Now, I've been saving a lot of money by not buying the cartridge for 50, 60 bucks. I've been taking it in to Cartridge World. And that's been only 29 to 39 bucks, somewhere in there, I think, right? And this is for about 2,000 copies. Well, I came across a place where it's $6.71, and you can get it cheaper than that, but this is supposed to be good powder. $6.71. And that'll take you a long way. So with my good Irish, Scottish blood, I wanted to save money, although my mother was 75% Norwegian, and she was Scotch. I really love Mom because her whole goal every month was to spend less the next month. I think I've told you that. And we said, have at it, Mom. That's good. But anyway, it's one of those things where how long does it take to take off the seal? You know, you're not supposed to break it, otherwise the warranty is gone. So you take the seal off, and you take already a pre-measured amount of this powder and pour it in and put it back on, and then take two screws out to reset the gear and put it back on. That took about, probably the first time because I wanted to get it right, 5 minutes. Good tutorial on it. You can go to the web or they send a little CD or DVD, whatever it is. And so a job that I thought would not take long at all, 5 minutes, well, I guarantee you I spent 3 hours off and on taking this thing off. I didn't pour any of the powder out, but with these gears, like, am I doing something wrong with the gears? And I went back. I'll bet you I watched that DVD, I don't know how many times. It had to be 12 times, I'm sure. Did I get the gears lined up right? Because it's very easy because there's a little arrow, and it tells you, it gives you a picture, you know, where to line this thing up. How many of you have ever had this happen? I know you haven't because you're not a minister. So, and it was 3 hours. And it didn't work. It was the first one was offline. Your printer's offline. It's offline, it's offline, it's offline, it's on the fly. And then it just was online, but it didn't work. Error in printing. How many of you ever had this happen? I know you haven't. 3 hours, I was getting frustrated. So Marion comes in, honey, can I help you? Of course you can. Go make some chocolate chip cookies. I need something to eat. I need something to assuage my irritation. Well, she did. I think she, well, maybe not that day, but she, you know, wanted to help. You know, all of you ladies, you know, does your husband ever get irritable when you try to help? Some of you women, and you women are not confessing anything about your husband, you know, you're not. I can see it. But it is one of those things, and you know, and it's going to happen, but it should have taken 5 minutes. Now, I had to be praying. I had to think, I preach, I have glass walls around me. Preachers have glass walls. When we throw stones, we break our own glass. We do. Everything applies to us. And so I said, you know that I'm supposed to pray, and I must pray, and I did pray, and it made it a lot easier. But still, you're being tempted to be upset the entire time. So what happened after 3 hours? The answer is, voila, it didn't work. Still didn't work. I didn't go back to that printer for 3, 4, 5 days. And we had another printer that kind of worked, but it took ink, took a lot more money. My printer didn't work on it, but Marion's did. So I would send her what needed to be printed, and then just so happened that her email in Chrome didn't work. She had to go to Explorer even to download it. So there was some other factors there that presented itself. But I went back and spent another 2 hours on it. And finally, after 5 hours, I actually sought some help besides my inner tech abilities. And someone said, I asked, in fact, the church, how many of you know how, what's wrong when a computer does whatever? And the guy goes like this. So after church, he explained to me, and I went and did it, and it didn't work, but he told me something else. Actually, I had to get two people, and with two minds, now three minds involved, and mine wasn't any good, so we throw that one out. But with the other two minds, in other words, what did I learn from all of this? Well, I learned patience. I learned it does take time, and it is helpful when you go through something like that to suffer and not get upset. It really is helpful. To suffer and not get upset. Because when I went back the second time, I didn't expect 2 hours. But also, I learned something also is living a Christian life also demands not only knowledge, but understanding, and maybe to get other people to give you some advice. A multitude of counselors' wisdom. It was the wisdom that finally caused me to be successful. Seek help. Ask how it should be done. And that's where, you know, even when we have God's Spirit, we have to be taught. The Ethiopian eunuch was there and said to Philip, well, how can I understand unless someone guide me? And in that case, I just needed guidance. A lot of times we don't need extra help. We just need patience. We need to do it again and again and again and again. So in all of this, we are tried. Now, what about us? What do we have to be patient with our husband? You wives, how long do you have to be patient with your husband? And the answer is, maybe until he dies. And don't cause that process to be sped up. Maybe there's nothing you can do. He's fighting something, and also he's a man. And again, remember, The greatest wisdom I've ever given anybody is a man is a man is a man is a man. And the other side of it is a woman is a woman is a woman is a woman. So don't trade the guy in for somebody else and expect something different, right? Because it's not going to work. Unless it's something, you know, you understand, abuse and certain things like that that you don't put up with. But what list can you make? I think it's good to make a list. I need to be patient with my husband or my wife in dot, dot, dot. I need to be patient with my children with dot, dot, dot. I need to be patient with my son in teaching him mechanics. I still remember with our son where I taught him certain basics in mechanics. You know, changing your oil is fairly basic. And I remember coming home and Dean was there and I said, what are you doing, Dean? And he said, changing the oil. I said, oh good, I'll be out in a few minutes to help you. He said, no Dad, I got it. So I changed clothes and came out and I saw 5 quarts of oil on the concrete. He took the filter off and then he drove his car up on the risers. And you know what happened when you do that? If the filter's off, you're going to put all of that oil down. Well, then I had to be patient with him, too. It was kind of funny, actually. But we are patient with everybody with whom we deal. You don't fire an employee right away when they make the first mistake. The story of the guy who lost $1 million for the firm, and he was brought in by the head of the company, and he said, I'm going to get fired, right? He said, no. He said, I paid $1 million for the lesson you learned. I'm going to keep you. I know you'll never do it again. So the head of the company must have had a lot of money. But what about ladies in the kitchen with your girls, teaching them how to cook, or your boys? Are you patient? You can do it much faster yourself. So when it comes to teaching people, we can do it a lot faster. What are we going to do in the millennium? Are we going to take over every single job of everybody that's under us? And the answer is no. We teach them. We must be patient. A minister is required, according to what Paul wrote Timothy, is to be gentle with those who have problems. Gentle with those who have problems. And this was a case where a demon was coming and going as it pleased, and still we're supposed to be gentle, is what it said. So gentleness, patience, is absolutely necessary for all of us in the kingdom. So we have two ways. We have Satan's way. Satan's way is patience is for a second. That's Satan's way. God's way is patience for as long as we live. He's patient with us as long as we live. He's teaching us. He's expecting us to grow during that period of time. But he is still patient with us. So let's go to Matthew 18 as the last scripture here. Matthew 18. And starting out here where you have a fellow that owed somebody else a lot of money. Sometimes we don't pick up on one of the words here. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down before him, his master, to whom he owed bunches. Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he wouldn't do it. He threw him into prison till he should pay the debt, which was never, because he's in prison. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. It wasn't just that he was just patient. In this case, he forgave. Should you also not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. We know, of course, the master is God and Jesus Christ. And what it's telling us is we have to be as patient and as forgiving with our fellow servants, with everybody in the church, as God is with us. So one of the things that we should ask for every day is not just forgive me as I forgive others, but have patience with me. Have patience, Father in heaven, with me as I have patience with other people and other things.